The story of the feeding of the 5,000 is probably one of the best known of all of Jesus' miracles for a number of reasons, which I'll get to in a minute. It's also been the inspiration for a lot of sermons, some of them good, some of them not so good, which leads to my opening story today about a young Bible college student that was invited by his home church to come back and fill the pulpit one Sunday, and he decided that this would be the text that he would preach on, feeding of the 5,000. And he worked really hard on it. He was very excited about it. He was especially proud of the opening, the introduction, which was going to be very dramatic. And so that day he gets to the church and church starts, and he gets up into the pulpit to preach, and he says, again, very dramatically, "Jesus took 5,000 loaves and 2,000 fish, and he fed 5 people." And then he points at the congregation and he says, "Could you do that?" And of course, everybody's laughing at this point, and he has no idea why. Finally, the gentleman in the congregation raises his hands, explains to him what he said, not what he thought he said, but what he actually said. And of course, he just is humiliated. He sits down at that point, just gives up. Well, the church was a loving, forgiving church. So they said, "Why don't you come back and try it again next week? We want you to come and try this again." So he did. He had a whole nother week to work on it. This time, when he got up and did that dramatic opening, he got it right. And he said, "Jesus took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and he fed 5,000 people. Could you do that?" And again, the same guy that raised his hand the week before raised his hand again. And he said, "What makes you think you could do that?" He said, "With all the leftovers from your sermon last week." The story of the feeding of the 5,000 is just, it's just a great story, for one, and it's a miraculous story, so there's that too, but it also happens to be a story that is in all 4 of the Gospels, and this is something that in my study came up. And I read it in several places, so I probably need to do a little bit more checking on this, but in my study it said that this is the only miracle story that is told in all 4 of the Gospels. And we sometimes forget that even some of our favorite stories, like the parable of the prodigal son or the parable of the Good Samaritan, are only in one Gospel. In both of those cases, it's the Gospel of Luke. But in this case, all 4 of the Gospels contain the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And I think that they do because this story the message is really a message that's central to the gospel. And that is that it's about God's abundant generosity and grace, extravagant generosity. But also there's something in there about the call of the disciples to share that abundance with others, to share that love and grace with others, even when maybe they don't think that they can, or that there's not enough to go around. So we're going to be reading today from Matthew's version of this story, which is found in chapter 14, beginning at verse 13. "Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves.' Jesus said to them, 'They need not go away. You give them something to eat.' They replied, 'We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish.' And he said, 'Bring them here to me.' Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, and he blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowd. And all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So when we say the feeding of the 5,000, really what we're saying is, oh, there were just 5,000 men. Apparently that was all they counted back then. I'm not sure why that was the case. So there could have been 10,000, 15,000 people there that were fed that day. I mean, this was an amazing, amazing thing that happened. Now, this story, like a lot of stories, benefits, or at least our understanding benefits, from knowing what's happening around the story. What's the context? In this case, if you read the verses just prior to where we started reading today, you understand why Jesus felt the need to get away to a deserted place. He had just learned that his cousin, John the Baptist, had been executed by King Herod. And if you're at all familiar with the story, you know that John the Baptist had been critical of King Herod, particularly of his relationship with his sister-in-law, Herodias, and he'd spoken up about it. And sometimes when truth speaks to power, power doesn't like that. Power fights back. And in this case, power fought back. And John wound up being beheaded over the whole thing. Jesus hears about it, and like anybody, he needs to get away. He needs to get off to a quiet place by himself. He needs to grieve. But the crowd didn't really get that. And the crowd followed him. And at first, what they were hungry for was Jesus' teaching and his healing. And he has compassion on them, and he does do that. And then they were physically hungry. They needed food. The hour was getting late. Now, this is where the story gets interesting, because the disciples come to him, and these are the same disciples who had seen Jesus have compassion on people in the past, same disciples that had seen Jesus do miracles in the past, but they don't sense this is an opportunity for that, for whatever reason. And so they say, just send them away. You need time, we need time, just send them away, send them into town so they can get food for themselves, we can start this up some other time. And Jesus says to them, and I think this is why this story is included in all four of the Gospels, Jesus says to them, they need not go away, you give them something to eat. Now, as we look at this theme of ready or not, here they come this month, what Jesus says here to the disciples, I think, teaches us something about how we are to minister to the world and minister to the crowd. Last week we talked about ministering to friends and family. This week we're talking about ministering to the crowd. And what we learn from this short little statement here is that the crowd has needs, both physical and spiritual. So we know that not only from the story, because that's where they were. We know that from our own ministry. We know that from church work too, that people have both physical and spiritual needs that need to be addressed, that we need to minister to. We also learn that God has the power and the resources to meet those needs. Even when it may not seem like the resources are there, they are. It's just sometimes our faith maybe isn't exactly where it needs to be. And finally, we are called as Jesus' disciples to be the conduits of making sure that those needs get met. That's why Jesus says, you give them something to eat. So we are a necessary part of this program. Now, I have always said I would have loved to have been there and seen the look on the disciples' faces when Jesus said this. You want us to do what with what? I'm sure that they were probably pretty put out when Jesus said this. They couldn't believe that he was asking them to do this. And as a pastor, I feel like I've had moments where I could understand exactly what they're saying here. For me, a moment like that usually comes in the middle of a really busy week when you've got just a whole lot of the normal stuff going on, sermon preparation and bulletins and newsletters, and maybe you've got meetings and a wedding or a funeral scheduled, and you've got people in the hospital here and there, and you're trying to get all of that done, and you just have the sense that there's really nothing else that you could possibly add to your schedule. And then somebody has a crisis, or maybe two or three families have a crisis, and there's a temptation to say, Jesus, I'm sorry, but I can't. You're going to have to send them to somebody else, whatever And of course, Jesus' response is always the same. And that is, no, no, you have everything you need. You give them something to eat. And you know what? Every time that's ever happened, the needs have been met. It's worked. It's just as Jesus said. The crowd has needs. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And sometimes those needs don't present themselves at the most ideal times. I've heard pastors joke around and say, you know, you'd think people would be more considerate about my calendar when they would have a crisis. They should check with me ahead of time. In fact, I had somebody on their way out at 8 o'clock this morning said, oh, by the way, I'm going to have a crisis on Tuesday. And I said, well, I'm sorry, but I'm going to be on vacation. So, but it doesn't work like that. We respond to the needs when those needs come. And I think that's why this story of the feeding of the 5,000 was told and retold by the disciples and by the early church, because it really gets at something, again, something central to who we are. That we are a people who respond to the physical and spiritual needs of people, the crowd, and the world. Hands-on kind of ministry. A guy by the name of Walter Brueggemann, he's an Old Testament scholar and an author. He says, when you are with Jesus, you are inescapably in the bread business. You need bread to share because it's the work of Jesus to feed hungry people and to express compassion concretely. And that's why I'm always so happy to see our church doing hands-on ministry. I love it when I see signs up now for the next adult mission trip that's going to be coming up in March. Great opportunity if you've never done that before to be a part of something. Our youth mission trips that we do every year. We have all kinds of opportunities. We have an outreach ministry that helps families, needy families in our community. We have a ministry that goes out on Wednesday night and does laundry. I can't imagine more hands-on kind of ministry. And what's interesting about that one is it's not only a concrete hands-on ministry, but they minister to people's spiritual needs in addition to that. So it gives them a window, a doorway through which they can minister to people's spiritual needs, which is awesome. And of course, we're going to have all of those projects coming up. If you haven't already signed up, I'm going to plug them again. We have projects all over town where you can get out and help real people. Some of them are our own people. Some of them are people in our community or the city at large. But these are things that you can do to help people. And again, all skill levels, all activity levels are included in that. We have a sandwich ministry that makes sandwiches for God's Way. Every month, like about once a week, they come in and do that. And again, concrete ways that we respond to this command of Jesus to feed others, to minister to other people's needs. This past week, the sandwich ministry came in and they were looking for a box, an empty box to carry all the sandwiches that they'd made. And I can remember thinking to myself, how wonderful is it that they need a big box to carry all the food that they're making for others. And yet, this is something that we do week after week, month after month, year after year, because it's an important part of who we are and what we do. Giving to others, even when we may feel like we don't have enough for ourselves, is a part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. A woman by the name of Anne Lamott says that when she begins to feel deprived, when she starts feeling kind of needy herself, she says that that's a cue to her that she needs to start giving to others. And she says in one of her books, I know that giving is the way we can be abundant. Giving is the way we fill ourselves up. And that's absolutely the case. And I think that there's also another kind of miracle that happens when we give from our scarcity, when we give from our limited resources. And that is that it allows other people to give from their scarcity, to give from their limited resources. Some people suspect that that's actually what was happening that day, the feeding of the 5,000, that people just began to share with one another as well. Kind of a cool idea. There's a story came out of something that happened during Hurricane Hugo, which is going back a few years now. It happened in 1989, and that hurricane hit the southeastern United States, and it pushed in about 200 miles inland in North Carolina, and it hit a little town where there was a young couple that was just ready to open a brand new restaurant called Our Place. And that next morning, they were the health inspector was supposed to come and give them their business certificate so they could be open for business that day. Well, of course, instead of that, there were trees down all over town, power lines down, electricity was out most of the town. Health inspector wasn't going to be getting out to see anybody for a long time. And but it was interesting because they had electricity. They were one of the few places that still did. And but no business certificate to do business. And so they had 300 pounds of bacon and beef and bushels of tomatoes in their refrigerator. So they decided they'd just give it away. So they found a sheriff's deputy and they told him, let all the first responders, the policemen and the firemen and even the line crews, let them know that they can come and have a free BLT and coffee anytime. And so people began to kind of trickle in. They began to feed people. And then they heard about another restaurant across town that was really taking advantage of the situation. They'd kind of doubled their prices, or there were all these people coming in from all over to help, and they were, you know, scalping them basically. And so they decided, you know what, we're going to just kind of take a leap here. And they put a sign in the window that said free BLTs, free coffee for everyone. And then the place just exploded, and there were just people everywhere. But a miracle happened. People began to clean the counters. They began to sweep the floors. Somebody volunteered to start doing dishes in the back. People began to help with cooking in the kitchen. And word got out that this was happening, got out on the radio, and people began to bring food from their freezers. And in just a short time, those few free BLTs and coffees that went out at the beginning of the week turned into 16,000 meals that got served that week. 16,000 meals. Jesus wants us to know that we serve a God of abundance. And when we look at the crowd and we look at the needs and say, I don't know if we can do this, Jesus says to us every time, no, you have everything you need. You give them something to eat. And the good news is that when we're faithful to that command, God will bless and multiply our efforts and more than we can even imagine, to the point where we will need baskets and boxes to pick up all the leftovers. Let us pray. Lord, you've given us a beautiful example of what ministry looks like, what love looks like in Jesus and his disciples. We see ourselves in them, and we see that sometimes we're afraid that we just can't meet those needs, that we're just not going to be able to. But God says, no, I will bless you. I will multiply those ministries and those gifts in order to make that happen. Help us to be faithful to that call. Help us to look to you and let you guide us in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.